Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we've come here tonight, Lord, to gather with believers, to have what we call church service, which means, Lord, we come, Father, to be in fellowship with you. We come, Lord Jesus, to hear you speak to us, to lift you up, to honor and praise you, to love you, to let us know how we feel about you. And I'm so grateful for the things you've done in our lives. And Lord, we ask that you would come and strengthen us. Be with each one of us tonight, Lord. Don't let anyone leave here without being edified and strengthened in their faith. Lord, I pray you would just work your way. Let your spirit come and just keep the thought, the doubts and the fears and all the hindering spirits at bay, Lord Jesus. And Father, just let us have a wonderful time. That we walk from here, we can say it was good to be here. It was worth the time we put in to come here, Lord. Lord, without you, this is just a useless ritual we go through. But Father, if you will be here, then Lord, it's so well worth it. So I ask you, come and just take complete control, Lord. Give me the words to say. Give us all the ears to hear, Lord Jesus. I ask this in your name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. If you want to read, we're going to read from Revelation, the first chapter. Just a couple verses before we're seated. Revelation 1 and 9. It says, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. And I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Be seated. Amen. God bless you. I hope everyone's doing well tonight. I might think this is going to be relatively short. But I had on my mind for several months now a thought God's been giving to me and just kind of leading me a certain direction I believe in it. I want to speak on the thought of the day of the Lord. And it'll be probably several services on it. And it just when Brother Jerry was saying to leaving for a while, it just seemed like it was a time to bring this. So I don't know how many services, it might be one or two or three or five, I don't know, we'll just see how the Lord leads. But we want to speak on the day of the Lord. Have some reason, this is what God put on my heart, right? And so here he's talking about he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And then some people want to say, well, that means he was there on Sunday. And I've read commentaries and heard people and so, you know, preaching. So here is John on Sunday on the Isle of Patmos. Well, Brother Branham, he goes and say, well, he was there for 2 years. It was not just one 24-hour day. All these visions came. So Brother Branham says this. First of all, we find some fine folks that call the Lord's Day the Sabbath day, which is to them Saturday. Then there are others who call the Lord's Day Sunday, the first day of the week. But how could it be either of these days or even the two put together? For John was in the Spirit receiving those visions for a period of 2 years. Actually, what had happened was that John was caught up in the Spirit and transported into the Lord's Day, which is yet to come. The Bible speaks of the day of the Lord, which is to be in the future, and John is now seeing the things of that future day. So here with John as a prophet, and God was saying, hey, I'm going to show you some things that people on in the future are going to need. Now, why do you suppose John went and saw these things and brought this revelation? And people have been preaching out of Revelation for years, and believers have been believing this for years. But at this final day is the first time all these mysteries have been opened up, so we actually know what was going on. And what John saw on the Isle of Patmos 2,000-something years ago was for us, the bride of this day. And so it behooves us to understand what it was talking about. And I don't mean to understand it just as an education, which is, I just believe, most message believers, they're being educated in this. And education isn't going to do you a whole lot of good if you don't see the Christ of the Word happening manifest, what you can understand, that this is Christ and this is not Christ. That's what it's all about, because the Spirit is so deceiving. Satan has gone down and persecuted and tried to destroy and all these things. And he's come to the very end. He said, you know, Christ saves his best for last. Satan saves his best for last too. And at the very end, he says, I'm going to find the hardest thing for the bride of Christ to overcome. And I'm going to try all I can to destroy her. And the hardest thing to do is to be so close like Christ, they can't tell the difference. It's easy. If we were sitting in here and all of a sudden some Roman soldiers came walking in here and started killing us or taking us to be eaten by lions, it's not hard to figure out what side you're on. And down through the ages, it's been the same way. You know, you persecute and persecute. And then at the end, he said, you know what? Every time I persecute them really hard, they get stronger. So maybe I'm going to bring a different kind of persecution. I'm going to bring a pressure of them of riches. Instead of like, I don't know where my next meal's coming from. I need to pray and get closer to God. I got to go meet anywhere I want. I can go to Nashville right now and pretty much eat anywhere I want. And there's hundreds of restaurants that are really good. There's no pressure there except like, well, I don't need God. I don't need God. I got a credit card. I got some money in my bank account. I don't need to pray about this. This is just, where do I want to eat? One of the hardest decisions on Sunday afternoon, where are we going to go eat? Oh, man. Americans, in some ways, we got it really good. And that's part of the pressure. Another pressure, he said, the soft living. Work, you're going to go home tonight and get in a really comfortable bed, aren't you? It's going to be clean. You're going to have enough to eat. You're going to be able to take a shower if you want to. Put on clean clothes, whatever you want. This, we don't have to pray about these things if we don't want to. I mean, if you don't, you're kind of an idiot, but you don't have to. I mean, look at all the people, the millions of people who do this without even thinking about God, right? And then he tops it off with, he said, with nervous tension. We have this stress of nervous tension because our minds are not prepared. So many things are happening. There's so much to fear, and our minds are not prepared for it. And so we go through all this stuff, and we do crazy stuff sometimes. People do. We do sometimes, because of all the nervous tension we have. We're trying to deal with all the stress that this world has put on us. We just look around and see the government, that'll scare you. Look at our morals, that'll scare you. Look at our education system, that'll scare you. Look at how the crime on the street, that'll scare you. It would not be all that surprising to have someone burst through that door back there and start shooting us down. That's just the world we live in, and our mind is supposed to make sense of all this. We have people in Washington who are literally insane. The things they believe are good for this country are literally insane. And you can tell them that's going to cost the United States $70 trillion to do that. How are you going to pay for it? Well, we'll find a way. They're going to run us bankrupt, and they think it's okay. The Congresswoman, I'm preaching politics, ain't I? Okay. Congresswoman, she says, people are so concerned about being factually right instead of morally right. What she's saying is, go ahead and tell a lie if you get your agenda crossed. That's all she's saying. And these are the kind of people that we elect to our Congress. And our minds are trying to, you know, we're trying to raise kids in this kind of environment. And we're trying to live a good life, and we're trying to do all these things in this kind of environment. And our minds are not, they're not strong enough for it, folks. They're not strong enough. Everyone's got mental illness. Everyone's got something wrong with us. I guess I can tell this story. Maybe it shouldn't get out on the net, but I was teaching a class this week. And, you know, we have all these people there, they're college educated people, they're supposed to be ready to help these kids, and a lot of them are very experienced in this field. And this one lady, she's a little bit older, she's not like fresh out of college, I guess she's in her 40s or 50s, and she was talking and saying something, and someone across the room was smiling about what something she said, and she got all tore up about it. She stopped and she glared at her. She said, "Are you laughing at me? You're laughing at me?" And she got tore. She sat there and cried for about an hour and a half after that. She was just so tore up about this. I said, and the person just smiled because she said, "I lost my train of thought." And the girl was thinking, "Yeah, I sometimes do that." She kind of smiled about it, and she got all tore up about it. I said, "This is the kind of people that we have going out fixing our damaged people." It's crazy. So this is what Brother Ram says about this. I kind of got off my... No, I didn't. It was about the nervous tension, right? And we deal with this all the time, and you have things going in your mind, and sometimes you can't get them off your mind, and it becomes worry, and it becomes fear. And the more you worry about it, the stronger it gets, and then becomes fear, and pretty soon you're acting on things, and then you get paranoid about stuff, and it just wears you down and wears you down. That's one reason Brother Jay said, you need a break. You need to take rest. Because it's much more up here a lot of times in the body getting tired as your mind gets weak. Your mind gets tired. You need to take a rest. And if your mind gets tired, your body gets tired. It works together. So here's John on the Lord's Day, and God takes him forward so he can see the future. And the things he said are specific. I mean, all the believers down through the years have used Revelation. It's been good. But this is the age when it was specifically for, is right now. That's what God thinks of us. He put a whole book in there. What? So to prepare the bride for the rapture at the end times. That's what it's here for. Brother Rand says this, today is certainly not the Lord's day. Isn't that something? This ain't the Lord's day. He said, this is man's day. It is man's doing, man's work, man's church, man's idea of worship, man's everything. For it is the man's world, the cosmos. So we look around and you look around and you see the way the world is going. You can say, yeah, this is definitely not the Lord's day. Man is controlling this. This is all up man. This is man trying to serve God. This is man trying to be a believer. This is man trying to do all these things. He said, but the day of the Lord is coming. And brother and sister, I believe that we are right there. It is right there. He said, yes, it is. It is just that at this time of the revelation of Jesus Christ, John was taken up by the Spirit and transported by the Spirit to that great day that is coming. The Lord's day is when the days of man are over. The kingdoms of this world will then become the kingdoms of our God. The day of the Lord is when the judgments fall, and after that comes the millennium. That's the day of the Lord. And with John, he went up there and he saw all these things that were to come. Right now, the world does what it wants to the Christians. They call them all manners of evil names, making fun of them. But there is coming that great and notable day when they will wail and howl. For the Lamb is coming in wrath to judge the world. Isn't that something? A Lamb coming in wrath. The video, the picture is kind of strange. You don't think of a Lamb having wrath, right? But remember when he was there and they said, don't worry, John, the Lamb of God is worthy to take the book. He looked to see a lamb, and what did he see? It's a lion, right? So when he comes, that lamb, he's a lion when he comes in wrath. He's going to judge the world. He said, that is when the righteous will have their day with the Lord, for the wicked shall burn, and the righteous will walk over their ashes into the millennium. Malachi 4:3, and you shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. So, brother and sister, what we need to do is make sure that we are those believers. We are the ones who get to walk over those ashes, or we're going to be the ashes that someone else is walking over. We get to choose right now. You want to be ashes? You want to be walking on the ashes? That's what the choice is. That's what we're doing now, is trying to make sure that we are not the ashes, right? So I thought about this. He said, why should we look at this? Why should we talk about the day of the Lord? What's this all about? You know, we know so many things, the education of it, you know, how the bride's going to go in the rapture and the tribulation's going to sit in. And we could probably, most of us, sit there and go through this and put it in chronological order and know that. And that's good, but that's not going to put you in the rapture. That's just education, right? So there's something else. I look back, and Jesus talked about this, and so let's see what he had to say about this coming. He said, now learn a parable. This is in Matthew 24. He said, learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise, ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. And what he's talking about with this fig tree is when Israel become a nation. We know Brother Banner talked about that. And they became a nation back in 1948, I believe. And they've been a nation ever since and getting stronger all the time. And Jesus said, when you see these things, it is even at the door. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. So brother and sister, we are right there. It's got to be happening because this generation, I don't know what he's talking about specifically. When that generation starts and ends, and people can argue about that or the one, I'm not going to worry about that. But he said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. These generations shall not pass to all these things be fulfilled. So we can see that when they became a nation, that branch is tender and putteth forth fruit, pours forth leaves, all these things are going to happen. So it has to be right now. It has to be. And Brother Branham preached about the red flashing red lights of the sign of his coming. And it's going to, he told us, he gave us all these indications. This proves it's at hand. This proves it's at hand. This proves it's at hand. And we're going to look at that. And that was 50 or 60 years ago. And we're still here. Which blows everyone's mind because everyone thought we were never going to get to 2000, much, you know, 1977 or whatever, you know, days. And here we are heading for 2020. And people are falling away left and right. Because it ain't happening the way they expected it to. Well, that can't be right. Well, he must have been wrong because here we are and this is going on and this is going on, brother and sister. Believe what you want, but I'm going to stick around if the Lord helps me to do so because I still believe the prophet is right. Amen? He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. There's the whole thing. Do we believe the word or do we believe our interpretation of the word? And that's why people fall away because they haven't interpreted a certain way. And when it don't work out that way, oh my goodness, the word must be wrong. No, the word ain't wrong. You are. He said, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So first of all, Jesus said, and he says, now, he give us these signs. He told some of the signs to look for, but then he says that the day itself, no one knows except the Father. The only one who knows. He said, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So he's given us another sign. For as it was, as it is in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be, as unknown as the thief. But now they didn't know it. And Noah's in the ark, closed the door, and it was way past any, no mercy left before the first sign actually came. Think about it. Mercy had completely gone away before for 7 days before the flood ever started, the rain ever started dropping. And people thought, well, they're crazy. They're locked up in that boat. I bet it's hot in there. I bet they're suffocating. There's one window and it's closed. There's one door and it's closed. And you got all those stinky animals in there. Hey, Noah, what's the stench like in there by now? And they didn't know that there are souls in prison, that they are impossible to be saved. But Noah had preached to him for 120 years, so they were without excuse. So even though the day itself we don't know about, we've been preached to for most of our lives, and we know that this is what's going to happen because we are those believers who believe the warning and get into the ark and it'll be in there when it's sealed away. When is the last person saved? When is that door going to be closed? I don't know. I'm not going to preach that it is until God tells me to. But I just heard Brother Branham say just yesterday, yesterday I think is preaching, and people saying mercy's over. He said, don't never say that. He said, don't never say that. Think about it. And how many people went out and destroyed lives by the hundreds because they said it? They knew not until the flood came and took them away. So also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. So it comes in a way that you don't know. But he gives the signs as warning. We can look around and say, eating, drinking, giving in marriage, marrying, giving in marriage. You can look around and say, well, we do that pretty well here in the United States, don't we? We eat and drink pretty well. I like what Brother Jim says a lot of times. He said, I don't smoke, I don't drink. I guess it's okay for me to go eat a good meal. I guess it's okay. Oh my. What was he saying? They're just going about their lives. They're just not paying attention to the warnings that, well, I'm comfortable, I'm happy, I got enough to eat, I got a good job, I got some money in the bank, everything's just fine. We're all Christians, we love the Lord, and we go to good church, and you can see the whole country just kind of heading that way. Well, they've gone way past that by now. They've gone and taken that and made it so perverted you can't even hardly go to churches anymore. The things they do in churches called Christianity are amazing. My. He said, then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. And so we know, you know, we're talking about here you are and the rapture's going and one person's gone and the other's going. But there's another meaning to this, a double meaning. And this is also just before the rapture when one person is believing and they've already been raptured and the other person hasn't. I'm talking about spiritually, not physical, you know what I'm talking about. And you can have two people on the pew and one is taken and one is left. And three, you got two message believers and one is taken and one is left. Because some people have already been caught up. The other people are still here being educated. He said, watch therefore, because two women shall be grinding at the mill, one taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. So now Jesus has given us a warning. He said, now it's going to be like it was in the day of Noah. He says, you know, one person's going to be taken, the other left without knowing what's going on. It's going to be too late at that point because one person's all of a sudden raptured. The other person's still sitting here. Have you ever thought of that? I'm sure you've thought about that. What would it be like to be here alive and remain? And all of a sudden, you see loved ones come that have been gone before. And you know you're gone, but you see, look around and someone else is sitting there and they're still there. What if it was one of your family? What if you're at work? What if it's someone, you know, I mean, who knows what it's going to be like? But it would be amazing, wouldn't it? What if you're the one sitting there and that person beside you disappeared? Weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth because you know you were that close. Because if you don't make it out of this church, you were that close. My. Think of those people who had their bags packed. They said, you know what, if it starts raining, we're going to get on that ark. And it started raining. They grabbed their bags and, let's go, get to the ark, get to the ark. And they headed up there. Noah, let us in. Said, I didn't close the door, I can't open it. I think people are going to be calling Brother Jerry. I see things, you know, I got to get right. He said, I didn't open the door. I didn't close it. God already closed it. My, what a time. He said, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this. He said, now remember, he just warned us, watch. He gave us a signs. He gave us the sign of Israel. He gave us a sign of the social life, the way things have been going. Then he said, watch. And then he said, know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. So he's saying, watch, because it's going to come like a thief. And if a thief is coming and you say, well, someone in the neighborhood says there's a thief hanging out, but I'm going to go to bed and get some sleep and don't worry about it. And the thief comes and breaks in and he wakes up and he's all tied up and the thief is doing whatever to his house. It was his fault. You should have been watching. And that's what Jesus is saying. You don't know what the hour the thief is coming. So if you're going to sit up and watch and be aware, then it's not going to take you by surprise. You're going to be ready for it. And that's what we need to do as we're awake and we're watching and we see this sign happening and that sign happening and we're watching for the word to be manifest here and we're walking in the light, because if you're not walking in the light, you're walking in darkness and you're going to be taken over by the thief. Therefore, be also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. He said, be aware, keep looking for this so you can see it when it's time to keep walking in tune in the symphony of the word for what is you're supposed to do for your day. That's what we need to do. Just keep watching, keep walking. Be ready. He said, in an hour that you think not. quite a thought, isn't it? An hour you don't think. You know what? The vast majority of the world has done, they've missed this already. The manifestation of Son of Man, Luke 17:30, he came in an hour, they think not, and it's already passed, and they're still looking for these things to happen. There's a lot of stuff. There's the denominations, they left God 50 or 60 years ago, the last time they ever had any evidence of Christ in their midst. And a lot of the message believers are there too. And I said this many times, but just because they're anointed by the Holy Spirit doesn't mean they know a thing about Christ. It's false anointed ones are deceiving them all. He says then, who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. And so what he's saying here is he's put a ministry in place to take care of these people who are watching, to make sure they are watching, make sure they're watching for the right thing. That's what that minister is for. He said, who is that faithful and wise servant who give him rule over his household to give meat in the due season so that the people are strengthened, so they know what they're doing, so they know what to look for. He didn't say it, and then I'm going to give you a tape recorder to play tapes. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. Now, see, this is where you're going. You know what? Message been going on for a while. The word's going on. You know, I don't know if the rapture's coming anytime right now. It hasn't happened for years, and so I don't know. And he says he begins to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken. He starts building up his own kingdom. He starts building his own church. He starts putting his own ideas to it. He gets them drunk on what he calls the word, and it just makes them drunk, and so they fall asleep. So they're not aware. They're not watching. He said, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and point him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And he goes into tribulation. So brother and sister, woe unto that ministry who doesn't prepare the bride for this day. Woe unto that minister who's not preparing the bride, giving the meat in their season that they need to prepare them for the rapture. Because they're going to be the first one hitting that tribulation period. I don't want to go there, folks. That's why when I come up here, I try to make sure that I know God has given me something to say. And if I don't have anything to say, I'm going to shut my mouth. This is too important to get up here and just be spouting off my own ideas, my own thoughts, and my own emotions. Paul talks about this too in 1 Thessalonians 5:1. He says, but of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Again, it's a surprise. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Now, they're saying peace and safety and sudden destruction as a woman with child. Now, a woman with child knows that she's pregnant, right? And she's going along, she's pregnant. But all of a sudden, the travail comes, the labor pains, and she knows it's time, and there's nothing you can do about it. That baby's coming. And said, they shall not escape. And so there's this warning, and people can look around. And I have some really good friends, not message believer, but like people I work with and different ones. And they are good Christian people, as far as what the world says Christian. And they're excellent people. And they can look around, and they can tell you the same thing I'm telling you, that judgment is coming. They can tell you that we're in a bad place. They can tell you that all this evil thing's going on. And they will stand against abortion. They stand against all this perversion and kind of things that we see. And they stand for Israel. They are wonderful people. And they can tell you the same thing. If they were sitting here, they'd say, yep, you're preaching the truth, Phil. That's exactly right. They know it. But then all of a sudden, because they're not aware of what has happened, they're not aware of the day we're living in, they're not aware of the message we have, that travail comes, and all of a sudden they find themselves in a tribulation period and thinking, well, what happened? Because it came on unaware. Even though they had the warning, but all of a sudden the labor pain hits, and oh, we got to get to the hospital and have this baby, and it's too late. Peace and safety. I've heard this several people over the years have said, well, I believe this is coming, but probably not in our generation. Not in our lifetime. Maybe 50 years from now. And they want to keep putting it off because the reality is, if all this stuff happens now, it's terrifying. And it is. Because we're going to see later on in some other messages how this day of the Lord is a terrible time. It is a horrible time. He says, woe unto you that seek the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is evil and not good, or something, says something like that. And there's going to be billions of people dying horrible deaths. My, just the people who are in the ark, just the people who are already saved are going to escape it. But ye brethren are not in darkness. I'm sorry, they shall not escape. But ye brethren are not in darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. Don't go to sleep, folks. Don't sit back and say, well, I'm a message believer. Everything's just fine. No, we need to be up and watching. We need to be watching for what? For the word when it's happening, when we see the word for this day, when we see what God is doing, we need to make sure we recognize it so we continue to walk in the light. Because if we stop walking in the light, we're in darkness. And if we're going by some experience I had 5 years ago or 10 years ago or 30 years ago, and that's the experience we're still going on. Brother and sister, we are walking in darkness because God is here every day, and you need to be walking daily with Christ. That doesn't mean every day you're going to have some wonderful epiphany and wonderful, great baptism of the Holy Spirit or something like that, because you're going to go through some desert times when you don't see any evidence of that. But you know what's going on, and you know we're walking in God's will because he's led you there, and so you keep walking anyways. And you just keep pressing on. You just keep pressing on when you don't feel like it. You keep pressing on. We don't want to go to church. You keep pressing on when you don't want to. You just feel so discouraged because we don't see anything going on. You just keep pressing on. That's why we come to church, to edify each other, to build each other up, because we get encouraged by each other. It's discouraging when you go to church and there's not people here who should be here. I'm not talking about you have to work or gone or, for what a reason. But they just don't bother to show up. And it's like, it's the day, we're right here, folks. How can you sit out of church? Do you not believe this? Do you not believe this? And yet that's what Satan wants to do. If he could do anything, he could just get you to stop doing one thing, is stop you from coming to church. Because when you don't come to church, you weaken. You cannot be as strong. So let us watch and be sober. They that sleep in the night. They that are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. Faith and love and hope. That's what keeps going. That's our strength. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. My. He hath not appointed us to wrath. Some people are appointed to wrath. Isn't that amazing? See, the world hates that kind of stuff. They hate when Paul says something like that. They hate when Paul says, you've been predestinated. You've been predestined. God has predestinated you. He has chosen. You are a chosen priesthood. They hate that because they're from a human point of view. Well, that's not fair. That's not fair. So you mean he chose you, but he didn't choose me? Well, he gave you a choice too. He still gave you a choice. All I got to say is wait till judgment day, and you're going to stand there and you're going to realize that God was fair. If you don't recognize it now, if you don't understand it now, on Judgment Day, you're going to understand God was fair. He's fair. Amen. Make your choice. And for goodness sakes, choose life. I mean, choose it. Choose life, please, folks. This world has got nothing. This world has nothing. And I understand how enticing it can be. I understand how... there's things that I really enjoy about living. I do. I can't wait. I want to plan a backpacking trip this summer. Two of them, hopefully. I want to go back out in the mountains. I just can't get enough of it. I love it. But would I trade life for something like that? What would be worth it? So Paul says, be awake. And what we find, what puts people to sleep is false teaching. They come and they bring the word and they get people drunk on the word with their false teaching. You know, like it says, you know, in that whore was found all the, she was drunk on the fornications that she had. And that what it is, it's the false teaching. And people get drunk on it because it makes you feel good. It makes you feel religious. And you know, I'm doing so much for God and I'm such a good person because look how I'm working here. Look how I'm helping these people over here. And look how holy I live and look what I believe. And people get drunk. So they're, what is it? They're staggering around. They can't see, right? Because they're not looking at the light anymore. They're walking in darkness. And message preachers are preaching people into this state by the thousands. So I'm going to go back and read a quote I read the last time. I think I preached this last time, and I'm making it, taking a different angle this time. It's the false teaching, friends, who put people to sleep. He said, he's talking about the woman at the well. He said, oh, make known by his prophets all his manifestation because of his attributes, of his thoughts expressed. Now here's this little woman. She was one of his attributes, this woman at the well. She was one who was not appointed to wrath. He said, there was a priest representing the light. He had learned it from the Bible. Now think about it. He had learned it from the Bible. What better way to learn it? If today you say he had learned it from the prophet, he will listen to the prophet's messages all the time. He had learned that God was God. He had learned that holiness was right. He had learned that there was a law of God. He had learned it because of intellectual conception. He was born of the right lineage. He was a message believer. He was a Levite. He was gifted to be a preacher, but put some of this stuff in there. He only knew it by intellectual conception. So he had been taught a certain thing. And when the light of the hour, see, he learned about what had happened, not what was happening, what had happened. When he found out what was happening, his denomination said nothing about it. Therefore, he had no representation of it. Brothers and sisters, that's exactly what you can see now because our church teaches a certain way, and that's what we're believing, and it blinds us to the other things. And so we're walking in darkness, and the light is over here shining, and our minister, preacher says, well, that's not the light. Keep going over here. And so we say, yeah, that's just a bunch of fanaticism over there, and I want to hear, you know why? Because this is really comfortable. You know why you're going to go to bed tonight and turn out the light and be in darkness? Because it's comfortable. And we get tired and we want to go to sleep. And you know what irritates you? You're just sleeping away and someone comes in and yells at you and turns on the light. Hey, get up. What? I'm sleeping. It's irritating, isn't it? Yeah. Spiritually too. Leave me alone. I'm comfortable in my message pew. Leave me alone. I like what I believe. I know I'm born again because I felt the Holy Spirit anoint me one time. I know I believe because I've had the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I know who I am. Leave me alone. I'm going back to sleep. That's what he's taught. And when you have somebody who they have a lot of confidence in, and get up and tell you something, and you believe that person because, after all, he's brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, and I want to believe him. And so he offers a religion that's comfortable. You know what? If you follow this rule, if you listen to the tapes right here, if you do it this way, you're a believer. You believe the message is true? I sure do. You're a believer. It's lies, friends. I don't care what that person's name is. It's lies. And that's what was wrong with this priest. He was down there, and Caiaphas was telling him, you know what? This is what the belief is. This is the truth right here. And he was a high priest. What is he supposed to do? Go against the high priest? Yes, he was. But he didn't want to because he was in love with his religion. He said, look at this priest. Wasn't he a son of God? It proved he wasn't. He couldn't recognize what? Did he say, I believe the Bible? Sure. But he couldn't recognize the express word of the hour. Why? Because he was not of the light. He was of the darkness. And he was comfortable in the darkness. And he was drunk on his religion. He was drunk on his doctrines. He was drunk on his manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And when the light shined, he said, yeah, but this is the truth right here. Walk in the light. He said, I don't want it. He just rolled over and closed his eyes and went back to sleep. He had only an intellectual learning from some group that had been back before him. It's the same thing today. He said, I know that's strong, but it's the truth. There was the word as spoken exactly for that day, and yet he was a scholar. He was a renowned person. He could not recognize it. Why? No matter how scholarly he was, anything like that, he still didn't have representation of predestination. And recognize this, friends, if we're not predestinated, we're not going to see it either. It's only for the predestinated. It's only for the predestinated. So recognize who you are. Recognize who you are. Only the predestinated will only be the one that does it. Only can be. And you can only do it because, look, it proves predestination. Because if you got eternal life, you had to be a part of God all times because he's the only one with eternal life. He said, you see it? Amen. And so what we need to do, what we need to watch for, is watch for the light in our day and keep walking in the light and stay awake and stay sober and be watchful and not get carried away by this doctrine or that religion. And you can look back over the years at all the, look at all the cults that formed around the message. This camp went off that way into seven thunders and two souls and all these kind of things. They chased this person and got people chased off into Canada and people down in Texas and people going out to New York and people going to Jeffersonville, and they're all chasing personalities. They're all chasing cults. They're all chasing some doctrine or something like that. But there's a truth. All that fanaticism means there is a truth somewhere. You can't have all that fanaticism if you don't have a truth. And so what we need to do is watch and look around and say, do I recognize the truth? Do I recognize the light today? Do I recognize the word happening? And if you do, stick with it. Brother and sister, that's going to be so simple. And that's what's going to throw the vast majority of people. It's just too simple. The light is too simple. So it can't be that, Brother Phil. Well, yes, it can too. So that's what we want to talk about in the next several services, Lord willing. I'm not going to go into a lot of details about the day of the Lord. I don't think I am, because I don't know any details about the day of the Lord. Just the things that the word says. But there's aspects of it, so like we talked tonight, that I believe God wants us to make sure we're watching and waiting and knowing what to look for. Don't try to figure it out. Every time man tries to figure it out, they get it wrong. They get themselves a new religion. They get themselves a new doctrine, and they run off, and they denominate and die. That's why they didn't recognize Jesus, because they had already figured it out. They had sat there for hundreds of years and taken all the quotes and all the prophecies and figured out exactly how the Messiah is going to come. And so many message believers had done the same thing with the rapture. They'd done the same thing with the millennium. All these things, they got it figured out exactly. They got their charts made up. They got everything written in books and everything. They know exactly how everything's going to happen. And you know what? They're going to wake up one day and say, oh my goodness, I'm in the tribulation period. Because you cannot figure this out. God didn't do it in a way for you to figure it out. He didn't tell you to figure it out. He said, watch. There's a difference. Just watch. Just be aware. Be aware of what God is doing. Look around and see what's happening. Because otherwise, you're going to make your own doctrine, and you're going to be so proud of it and so proud of your religion. And then when the truth comes, you say, yeah, but I like mine better. I remember listening to a brother. He was so proud of his chart he had drawn up. He's bragging about, I sent this to Brother Biscoll. See what he thinks about this. This was years ago. Because he was so impressed with what he had come up with that he just, sure, Brother Biscoll is going to be impressed. I don't mean this disrespectful, but who's Brother Biscoll? You know what I'm saying? What about Christ? What does Christ think about your chart? Oh, hey, I got it wrong. You must be right, because I'm only God, but here, let me see that chart, make sure I get it right. Come on, people. It's crazy. And yet that's what happens is we got an education of it, and so that's what we're leaning to is figuring it out as an education. Now, you ask that brother, he said, oh, no, I got this by anointing of the Holy Spirit. I have no doubt you were anointed when you wrote that. No doubt at all. Still wrong. So what we need to do, just be aware. Just listen for the voice of God. Strengthen each other. We're too close, friends, to blow it up now. We're too close. Amen? The true ministry will shine the light on the word for this day, and all God wants us to do is just walk in the light. Just be that simple. So if you see the light, and it's only for the predestinated, confess who you are. Confess what God has called you to. I've been called to be part of the bride. I've been called for this. This is what I'm here for. This is why I go to this church. This is what God is doing in my life. Because if you're not confessing it, you don't believe it. So go ahead and just confess. Yeah, but Satan tells me this, and I have this struggle, and I have that, and all this. Welcome to the human race. Now, what does God say about you? Do you see the light of your day? Are you walking in the light? That means you're predestinated to go into rapture. And Jesus just says, watch, so that you find yourself ready to go. Amen? All right, let's stand. Lord Jesus, we're thankful that you would come and encourage us tonight. Thankful that we can see. Lord, help us to always keep our eyes open. Lord, you keep our eyes open. Lord, sometimes they start getting filmed over. We have a hard time seeing it. Sometimes things start getting dark, and sometimes we struggle with one thing or another, Lord. And Satan tries to get us off the path and tries to get us discouraged. Lord Jesus, you're greater than all his tricks. We're greater than Satan, Lord, and he's just a bluff. So, Lord, keep us walking forward. Keep us pressing the battle. And Lord, help us, strengthen us with your faith and your love and your hope, Lord, and help us to strengthen each other. Help us to edify each other. Lord, this is a body ministry. This is what you brought us together. We need each other, Father. We need each other. It's not just something that would be nice if we helped each other, if we encourage each other, but we need it, Father, because all of hell is turned loose against us, and there's no way we're going to stand on our own. Bless us, Lord Jesus. Keep us safe as we go. Be with the ones who aren't here tonight. Be with Brother Jerry and everyone, Brother Todd and his family as they're going to the funeral, Lord Jesus. And just watch over everybody. Bring us back your Sunday, Lord, with the right minds and, Lord, just encouraged and expecting to hear from you. I ask this, Lord, in your name.